Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How's it going? Welcome to Swim Podcast episode number 21. The someone who isn't me on this one is artist, activist, musician and entrepreneur Kat Von D. When I was recently in Los Angeles, we finally got to do the episode because she's been someone that I've wanted to have on the podcast since its very beginning. You know, when I first started it, I made up a list of people and Kat was one of those people on there. But before we get into it, as it's holiday season and the time for spreading joy and whatnot, I thought I'd offer something up as a Christmas gift. So obviously one of the parts of the podcast that I really enjoy doing is, aside from the actual conversations, it's the cover paintings that I do of each guest. And a lot of people have always asked me if I'm going to make prints of any of them. And I have mentioned before that I'm going to be doing a book of sketches via an amazing company called Von Zoss. And a couple of the swim portraits might actually end up making an appearance in that. But I decided to do a giveaway because it's Christmas and stuff. So the catch of this is, though, that if you follow someone who isn't me on Twitter and Instagram, both are at Swim Podcast, and also write a nice review on iTunes, then take screenshots of all of those things. So, you know, it says something that says that you're following the podcast on Twitter and Instagram, also a screenshot of the review, and then you tweet me at Swim Podcast using the hashtag Swim Portrait. I'll put your name in a hat and you can win one of the original paintings from one of the episodes. I've not actually decided which one it's going to be quite yet. They're mostly in my Moleskine sketchbook, so they're kind of small, 7 inch by 7 inch. They're all mixed media, mainly kind of oil and acrylic with a bit of ink. But there's a couple that are bigger. So that, like, the one of Laura Jane Grace is a lot bigger. Also the one of Kat that I did for this episode, the one that I did of Billy Corgan for the last episode. So if you want to be in with a chance of winning one of the paintings from one of the episodes that up to this one, number 21, do those things. So yeah, at Swim Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, take a screenshot to prove that you're following them, write a review on iTunes, do all those three things, send it to at Swim Podcast on Twitter using the hashtag Swim Portrait. I'll put your name in the hat and pull that out. If you get them in by January 4th, and then I'll do the draw on January 5th, that's 3 weeks from today. You'd be in with a chance of winning one of the paintings. Right, anyway, back to the episode. So when I was in LA, I went over to Kat's house. I got there, she was repairing a harmonium type instrument, I think, which was wicked. The three cats were climbing around and trying to get in my backpack. She was feeling a little bit under the weather, but she was still very cool enough to actually hang out and chat about art, creativity, and her drive, and a wonderful album, which I've kind of been punishing her to release for quite some time, actually. It's so good, fantastic, seriously. So yeah, we talked about that, her activism, veganism, the strive for conscious living, and her sobriety. And it's a great episode that was made all the better for me because kitty cats were involved and I'm a mad old cat lady on the quiet. There is a side note as well. The audio on this one, weirdly enough, when I got it back, there's like a weird background humming noise which has never been there on any of the episodes before. I'm not quite sure why it's there. So if that interferes with your enjoyment a little, I apologize. It's Yeah, it's strange how it's there. When I went to edit it, which is what I do with every episode, where I kind of basically boost the audio levels and make sure it sounds decent. Yeah, it was really there. And because we were in like this large, beautiful, cavernous room with an incredible fireplace full of these melted candles, which had kind of dripped over onto the floor. It was incredible. It's a little echoey and there is a bit of a hum to it. I do apologize. I do try and get decent audio for all of it. This one is a little weird for some reason. Anyway, this is episode 21 of Someone Who Isn't Me, Kat Von D. Enjoy. Yeah, there's no real format to them because they're just conversations.
Cool.
Because I made up a list when I first sort of decided that I was going to do this.
Yeah.
And you were one of the first people on it because I just find you very inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
Because I think the ability to focus on so many things the way that you do and to such a level is super rare for creative. I don't know, maybe I'm just looking at it from my perspective, but I think it's rare to find people that, in my experience, like that are super creative within all like a bunch of different fields.
Yeah.
And yet still have this incredible entrepreneurial drive.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I see it in my friends a lot. Like I have tons of friends that are amazing artists in different mediums and they're really good at that, but then they suck at marketing or whatever, you know. I think maybe just because I left home at such an early age, I was kind of forced to like figure my shit out, you know, from the beginning, and I guess understand the boring part of it, you know. Like I personally like marketing. I think there's an art form to it as well.
Yeah.
And I think where like a lot of like corporations and businesses fail or like they just it's all really about intention, you know. And I think when you have like you know, the intention to make money or, you know, find fame or whatever illusionary ideal of success, you can get really sidetracking or disfocusing from like the honest intention, which is like creativity or art, you know. So
yeah.
So I do find joy in being able to like figure out how to successfully do things, you know. But again, my idea of success is a lot different than a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
People are kind of chasing their own tail to like seek validation or something, whereas I just know personally for me, like I would still be doing the same things that I do even if nobody saw them.
Yeah.
You know, and so yeah.
But do you think, this sounds hippie straight away, but do you think things have opened up and that sort of path becomes clearer because of an honest intention?
Yeah, I mean, don't worry about sounding like a hippie. I'm a total hippie, I think. But yeah, I think, you know, it's like practicing good habits, you know. I think that I've personally have had to break a lot of bad habits, you know. Then
yeah.
A lot of that stuff is just like programming, like society programs you to think certain things are good and bad, and I don't know where I got it. I feel like in that sense lucky, and I don't really like that word too much, but you know, that
why not
because I think it's kind of a cop out a lot of times. I think or when people think you're blessed with something or like given a gift from God, I mean, I think I work really hard at what I do.
Yeah.
it's not really any, there's no magic behind it aside from just like putting in time, you know.
Yeah, but I think that is magic.
Yeah, of course, but I mean magic in the sense of like how people see it.
Yeah, like things just
like you're gifted, wow, like it's like I'm not special in any way. I don't think most people are. I think that we just okay. You know, it just depends on what you choose to like invest your heartbeats into. And like for me, yeah, I'm able to do a lot of things and people are always like, wow, like I can't believe, how do you do it all? And it's just like, well, I've sacrificed a lot of other things, you know. I don't have that much of a social life. I've completely failed in my romantic life. And I guess with that being said, it's like some people would consider that like a lonely road, which I tend to isolate a lot and I thrive in isolation. So it's like a win-win for me.
Yeah,
you know?
I think a lot of great artists, that is the way, because it's a calling, isn't it? It's like, or I see it that way. Like, I don't know how you view it, but I think art, it would be it visual art or music, it's one of those things that it's like a compulsion. It's not like you work super hard at it, but at the same time it gives you no it doesn't give you a break at any point. Like, it could be 3 a.m. all of a sudden, yeah, you're like,
sure,
you need
an idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, a good friend of mine put it really well. It was like that, like, most people create because they want to. And I know personally for me, I do it because I have to. I don't know any other way. So, Yeah,
I agree. I feel that's the way it is as well. And that is a, you know, you could look at it that is a blessing, and but at the same time, you know, there have been moments where it's just like, I'm laying in bed and I just want to, like, get up, and I know I'm going to wake everyone up if I do, but
yeah,
I feel compelled to go and, like, work on something I was doing earlier, or I've got an idea for some music. And
see, that's why I just have cats. They don't care. They don't give a fuck if it's 3 a.m. They're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's piano time.
So how do you... I find that because I play music, mm-hmm, and because I try and paint,
mm-hmm,
I find that I've only got so much focus, but you seem to... Yours seems to have been just, like, so broad in everything. So how like... Because there'll be times where I'll be working on music and everything else seems to drop away.
Yeah.
Because you get in that mindset, don't you? And you just focus in on things.
Yeah, I think I have to be really, like, diligent and strict with myself. So, like, I think that's where, like, the discipline comes in. So, I mean, in all honesty, I feel like most of the time my frustration comes with, like, really wanting to do something else while I'm doing something else, you know? So it's like the makeup line, for example, like, at this current moment takes up too much of my time, and it doesn't make me happy in that sense, because, like, you know, my heart wants to be working on music or whatever. So I have to really like, delegate and be okay with that, which I think has been a big struggle for me all my life, because I have control issues. I like to micromanage. I like to do everything.
Mm.
So but now, you know, I think with anything, it's like you can build it, and then you build, like, little, like, families around each thing that you do. So, like, my tattoo shop, you know, when I first built it, I built it with my hands, and, like, I've cleaned the toilets at my shop. I know every inch and corner of it. And then as I built my team, then I could let go of some of the responsibilities and know that it'll function well. So with the makeup line, I have, like, a really great team, and, like, whether it's marketing or whatever, product development, and now I've, like, put together, like, an artistry team that can, you know, alleviate me of a lot of the duties that I was kind of bound by, and that way it frees up my time. So
So
I mean, usually, like, my days, they're never the same, but, like,
do you have set rituals or, or routines?
Yeah, for sure. I have, like, a strict schedule that I stick to. So if I'm in music mode, then it's like, you know, like, my vocal warm-ups take me about an hour and a half, and so, you know, I'll set my alarm and wake up in the morning, and then I know that the first hour and a half is for this, and then I'll get a break for this, and then, you know, go to 2 hours of piano, and then from there I'll have, like, uninterrupted time where my cell phone is off and, like, no one's allowed to come to the house, and where I'm, like, you know, focused. If it's, like, lyric time, like, that's, you know, I pretty much punch in like anybody would for, like, a 9 to 5, you know, and then and
that takes a lot of discipline.
Yeah, it does. And especially when there's so many things that you want to do. For me, I feel like, oh my God, my biggest, I think, complaint in life will be that I won't be able to do all the things that I want to do before I die, but I just die trying. So it's, you know, it's okay. But yeah, so I think it's just about, like, trying to find, I hate the word balance because I'm not balanced in any way, but but just finding that structure, you know, and then, like, sticking to it. So, you know, even, like, something as little social media for me, like, I have, you know, I post something and I'll get 5 minutes to, like, talk to fans and, like, in the comments, and then after that I have to shut it off.
Yeah.
If not, I could get sucked into it pretty easily, like everyone else does, and they just
it's all consuming.
Live, like, sucked into your phone, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing. I found myself really guilty of it. I find that I post a lot of, like, drawings and stuff, and I actually had to sort of question myself quite recently, and I was like, am I making art to post, or am I just posting stuff that I'm making?
Yeah.
You know, and it...
I think you can do both, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think, like, I mean, I do that with, like, the makeup stuff. You know, if I'm promoting something, then I'm going to create something artfully minded, but with the intention of, you know, connecting it with whatever product that I want to promote. And I think that there's creative, honest ways of doing that, you know? But at the same time, I have like tons of sketch pads and art that no one's ever seen, you know, here lying around at the house, and that stuff makes me happy too. So yeah. I think you can have both. I think when you get sucked into like seeking validation through like people's responses, and I think that could be really toxic, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saying about the makeup, that's something that I've been seeing you working super hard on. And it's it seems that you have every single facet of it.
That I'm doing all of it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah. But I think even down to
the designing packaging and everything, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's incredible.
Yeah. I feel like it's like in any industry, it's like so oversaturated. So I feel like if I'm going to do something, I want to make it like from the heart, like 100%, you know? And I think that actually is what makes the makeup line and everything I do like stand out amongst certain things, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, so yeah, I think people don't give like the client or consumer, whatever you want to call it, like enough credit. Like they can tell when something's just computer generated versus like made by hand.
Yeah. And I think the thing is as well, I'm sure you probably aren't keen on the word, but I think when somebody of your profile is working on things, it just seems that people come to them and go,
yeah, it's a licensing deal.
Do you want to? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That. And it's like, okay, you just stamp your name on that.
And then just get a paycheck.
And it just feels, you know, whatever. I'm not judging those people. That's fine if that's how they make
like,
their money.
I mean, I don't know. That's
no
not fulfilling for me. So,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this is something that I've seen. You do surround yourself with great people and build like little, as you said, like you build little communities within each facet of what you're doing. And I think four women that you've got working in the team
for the makeup line. Yeah.
It's unreal. It's,
yeah.
It's mind blowing for me. Cause yikes.
What are they doing?
Kitty
cats. And let me go open that door before they start breaking shit. Get over there.
Yeah, because for me, it's like I get to see into a world that I probably wouldn't be aware of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
I think, I mean, makeup artistry is so amazing. I'm not a makeup artist, you know, so for me, it's like, it's been amazing to be able to like step into like a world that I just have no, I mean, I have so much respect for makeup artists, you know, and what they're capable of doing. And anyone who's dedicated their life to something wholeheartedly, I mean, that's like, I admire that. But I don't pretend to be a makeup artist. I mean, I do makeup on myself and stuff. But so I think when I put together the Artistry Collective, it was really cool because I basically got to, you know, be the fan and like, you know, hire out these girls who I look up to on an artistic level. That's like, they can do things that I can't even dream about. And it like blows my mind, you know?
Yeah, like so, I look through, it's Kelsey Anna.
Yeah.
Like her stuff.
Kelsey's,
I mean, they're
awesome.
All amazing. But,
yeah. Yeah, they all do things, you know, they all master like different areas of artistry, and together they're like this super group, like pretty untouchable, which I love. But
yeah, it's inspiring to see somebody like, it's a, like I said, it's a field I don't really know a lot about. But to see boundaries just being like properly.
Totally.
It's awesome.
God damn it, these guys.
It's all right, Yeah. So how did you find them? How did you go around choosing those people?
I'm gonna grab that because it's gonna be so annoying.
Goddamn nature. Is it because you know I'm doing something important?
Your listeners will have to be understanding of cats.
It's fine.
I think. Leah was the only one that I knew outside of like prior to hiring her. She's been a friend of mine for a long time.
Yeah.
And I've always like loved her makeup aesthetic and everything. And then the other three I honestly found on Instagram, just you know, properly stalking their profiles for years, and you know, just really admiring what they do. So it was kind of funny. Like I direct messaged them and was just like kind of nervous about it, you know, because I feel like there's a part of me that doesn't feel worthy in a lot of ways. You know, I think Just the
why?
Because I'm not a makeup artist, and I think because I
yeah, but don't you think that if as soon as you approach anyone within any field of artistry, that they're gonna see that you're totally, you know,
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to just assume that whenever I meet anybody, that should I tell her to not vacuum right now? Do you think it'll come up?
I don't know. Let me listen.
I feel like it's loud.
Yeah, I can hear it a little bit.
Let me just let her know real quick.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to disturb you at like your routine and stuff though.
Hey Maria. Oh no, gracias. Perdóname. She was like, oh shit, sorry.
Nah, I feel like I've kind of turned up and disturbed.
That's what I was like, it's better. Because she was vacuuming here earlier downstairs. I was like, oh, that's not gonna work, but she's cool.
Yeah.
So I forgot where we were.
Me too. Well,
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I was saying about how I think it's interesting that you were saying that you were approaching these people
and being like, self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean,
that's a great quality though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like
being humble, and
I think anytime you admire anybody, I mean, there'll be some form of intimidation, you know.
I've
some of, like, you know, some quote unquote big names that didn't faze me, you know, but then like when I tattoo an artist that, or a painter that like I admire, it's, you know, I'm hyper aware of that energy. So it's like,
what, more so than musicians,
or more so than, yeah, I mean, someone that wouldn't understand what it is that I'm doing, you know. I think it's just I mean, it's a good thing. I think I like feeling like I'm on my toes around people. I want to get better, you know. And
yeah
I don't know who would want to be a big fish in a little pond. Not me, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how were they all when you approached them?
Oh, I mean, everybody was super cool and excited about it, and I think all four girls were really excited to be part of something that hadn't been done yet, you know, because I think most makeup companies don't want to, like, put anybody on a platform. They don't want to invest into, like, people because they don't own them, and for me, I've always been, like, all about celebrating people. Like I said, I love being the fan, and I'm like, all my friends' biggest fans, so I think it's, if I can shed a spotlight on somebody that's given me inspiration, I think that's the coolest thing ever, and, you know, spread that word.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the greatest thing that people can do is find like-minded people and create communities.
Yeah.
Because then it only, you know, it fires everybody up, and it becomes this powerful creative force.
Exactly.
Yeah, you seem to be really good at doing that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, I just find joy in it. I think with anything, and not just makeup, like music. I feel like there's so many really great bands that people don't know about, and they won't know about it, but now with social media, it's like pretty cool to be able to share that. So I usually try to, you know, if I'm posting a video, I'll edit like a song that I'm really into at the time, just to get other people to listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you listen to at the moment?
Right now?
Because I see that I get a vibe of the kind of bands that you hold in really great esteem.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Right now, I mean, I like the cats are making like the funniest things right now. They're just putting on a show. Right now, I've been listening to, because IMX just released an instrumental album, so I've been kind of listening to that on repeat for a while.
Yeah.
And then
do you listen to music when you paint and draw?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean,
do you have a preference?
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's just like whatever I'm addicted to at that moment, you know? I mean, I have playlists too. I mean, at the shop, I make playlists with music that I think all the guys will like, because I don't, you know, I mean, not everybody wants to listen to, you know, sad songs all day long, I guess. But yeah, when I'm at home and working and stuff, I'm listening to whatever I want. So, yeah.
Because I find that, I don't know whether it's just because I've become obsessed with things, I think that there's certain bands that I always go to, like a lot of more kind of instrumental stuff and a bit more sort of epic sweeping stuff, I find is, because I think making art is really meditative, right?
Yeah, sure.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that like there's one band in particular that I listened that became my painting band.
Uh-huh. Who was that?
It was a band called Horseback.
Uh-huh.
To the point where I would listen to them all the time, and then if I heard them when I wasn't painting, I had like this Pavlovian response where I'd want to go and draw.
Yeah, you know? That's true. It's funny. Like a little trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like that stuff too. I think I don't know. Lately, I think I've gravitated more towards like more aggressive stuff. I've been listening to a lot of Ministry and then kind of diving back into some old black metal stuff. But like black metal to me is, you know, I feel like it's not distracting to me, you know, like in the background, it's like some music I think is, I'll just get too into lyrically and like,
yeah,
get lost in that versus what I'm doing. So I don't know, black metal tends to work really well for me, I guess. I could write a book to it, which is weird, you know, because especially if there's lyrics, I usually can't concentrate on two things, but with that stuff I can.
Yeah that's funny.
Yeah.
Something that's been interesting for me is seeing you post like snippets of your own music.
Yeah
which I find, are we allowed to talk about the record?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, you know how much I love it. I've had that record for
a while.
Yeah, like a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it years ago. Like, yeah,
And it's like one of the, I find that it's one of, you know, I get sent so much music because of the job at the BBC.
Yeah.
But it's one of those records, especially when I'm like traveling, that I always go to.
Oh, cool. That makes me happy. Yeah, that whole album was written so long ago, and
why has it never seen the light? I don't want this to turn into that now.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know,
that's okay.
The interactions that we've had so far is just me going, you should really put the album out. It's great.
Which is good. Really... It's good for me to hear that. Yeah. I mean,
but I felt like I was punishing for a while, so I just
stopped. No, that's
just because I was a fan of it so much.
That makes me super happy. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm super proud of the album. I'm like, actually, I love that album, and I love, you know, everything that I was able to create with everybody for that record. And and then I, you know, I went through kind of like a weird reclusive phase, and which I kind of, I'm always on a tightrope with it, like, you know, wanting to just to like disappear and then like getting grounded again and staying in it. So it's, you know, a part of me wants to like just not share it, and then at other times, then it's weird. I think it's because so much time has passed since I've written that stuff, so I've like worked through a lot of those emotions. So I'm not disconnected from it, but I definitely want to write new stuff. So for me this year, I decided like I got to release it. I just have to get it out there,
and
out of my face, so I can start writing again. So
I think it would be a tragedy if it didn't.
Thanks, man. I think so too. And so I'll be releasing it probably within this next year, 2018, in the early part of it. So I've just currently just been working on some remixes with Dave Satek, which I'm super excited about. And then once that's done, I can start making music videos and all that stuff and start strategizing a tour, which I'm excited about. Because I think a lot of those songs, I mean, it's the difference between recording and then being able to play it live, and I think being able to play it live is going to be really good for me. And and I'm excited about doing that. And I think like fans have been waiting for so long, so
yeah, people are aware, right?
Yeah,
I mean, they know that do they know that there is a record? I know that they know that there's potentially a record and that you're working on songs.
I haven't done like a proper, you know, press release about it, which I will.
Guys, I have to record an album. It's that's sick. Okay.
Yeah. Like once I get closer to being like completely done with these remixes, then we'll do a proper release and all that stuff. And then I'll probably just have to reshoot like the album artwork, and I want to release vinyl and stuff. So just because we shot everything years ago, so.
Oh, I didn't even know that there was like, that you'd got that far down the line with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So it'll be good. And then I'm just so excited to be able to start writing new stuff. So yeah.
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 There's so many moments on that record, which are just with the people involved and the songs. It's perfect.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm excited about it.
And like, what's your favorite stuff on it? Because for me, the album is a proper, it's a whole album.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
Story for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, originally it was, you know, there was like a guy who had written me an album and sent it to my doorstep, and I mean, this was years and years ago, and I remember saying like, okay, I'm gonna respond with an album, and that's basically why I wanted to write an album. So I was like, okay, if I'm gonna do something, I want to do it right. So then I started taking vocal lessons with Ken Tamplin, and I was, you know, doing those like 6 days a week basically. Until I felt like I could get a grasp on how to actually sing, you know, because I think most people nowadays don't even know how to sing, and they're putting out fucking shit ton of albums, and I don't want to be that person. So, I kind of like did that, and then started basically addressing each of the songs on that album that the dude had written, and kind of writing responses to each of them.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. So, I mean, but again, like that, I've worked out that whole, like, I've resolved a lot of those feelings and stuff, so for me it's like, it's I mean, I know what I'm talking about, you know, and I think like, music is great. I mean, it could be about drugs or death or love, and you know, whatever the listener is taking away from it is, you know, I guess what's important to them. But for me it was super specific to one person.
Wow.
And so I think that's why I'm so excited now to like write new stuff, because it's like, although that sentiment and those feelings from the album are still real, like I meant them, you know, I've just worked through those feelings already, and you know, I've kind of like made peace with those. So so it'll be good.
But then I think there'll be a ton of people that are going to get so much out of it.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, yeah, you know, we both love music so much, and you know how it's like, these things are much more profound than just, you know, a melody, you know. I mean, music, I love music, it saved my life so many times.
Me too.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah, you can tell that it's, well, yeah, that you've put so much into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's some amazing things in it, like the calling.
That one was awesome. Like the calling was like the only song that one, and like there's like one cover from the 1950s at the end that's about my dad, but the calling was like,
that's a clever reworking too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I figured it was like, this whole album is about like unrequited love and this like this dysfunction, and then at the end, if I had this stripped down, you know, it's epic in its own way, but it's just me and like an old world. It's sort of unplugged, and that's it. Like, no, those are like all one takes. So there's no like editing on any of that stuff, and it's about my dad. So it's basically like, symbolically speaking, it's like, oh yeah, there's like all this like, you know, chasing something or somebody or some idea that's like almost illusionary, but feels real. And then none of that stuff matters at the end of the day. Like, my dad's love outshines all that stuff. And like, what else could I ask for, you know? So, it was cool to play that song for my dad once I finished it. But aside from that, like, the only other song on the album that's not about that guy or romance in general is like The Calling, which is, I mean, I guess it's just about death, but kind of writing on the story of Vampira or Milo Nurmi, who to me was like pretty much the closest thing to a hero that I ever had. So that was like kind of paying homage to her, which is pretty cool.
And I think the sample that goes over the monologue over the mid,
the bridge, just, that was like, it's like a rare, never before heard like recording that she did. I think she was obviously a poet, but I think that was taken from her, like, she used to do journal entries, like recording herself just talk about life and things. So yeah. When I heard that, I'm like, I mean, I always loved her voice, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. I'm so glad it's coming out.
Yeah, thanks.
And I think that the exciting thing as well is that to then be in the position to start writing new things.
Yeah.
Have you? How do you go about writing when you're writing music?
I already started writing some new stuff. I mean, sometimes I'll collaborate with friends, and then other times just on my own. And I just always just start with myself and a piano, and usually.
And do you start with melodies and?
Yeah. I mean, or sometimes I'll start with just concepts, or if it's like there's something specific I want to say, and start from there, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you find that when you're playing, do you find that a vocal melody will come in, and then once it's kind of sat there, and you know how it is that, well, for a lot of people they'll kind of words come out,
sure, yeah,
right,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, and then you find out what a song is about almost. It's like
totally, yeah, like process of elimination. I mean, sometimes it's it can be a tagline that like becomes a chorus, or it's just chord progressions that like spark a melody and a sentiment, and then from there I can build. So it all really depends. I mean,
how do you think that comes about?
Going
back to being a hippie again, yeah, I feel that those things are very much things
that are organic and you can't really control.
They kind of move through you.
Yeah, which is exciting. Yeah. I can't wait to get back into songwriting mode and lock myself up. Right now I've been into remix mode, so it's just been like a lot of synths and, you know, just crazy sound explorations, which is fun. And
are you doing that for the whole record then, or just certain songs?
Doing for like a majority of the record. A few songs I'm gonna keep as is. And yeah.
Please do.
Yeah, of course.
Not that I've got any to say in it, but you know.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'd like to hear how that then progresses.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like on that track, I Am Nothing. Like, I'm so excited about, like, the remix is super amazing. It's just so
heavy.
Sparkly. To me, it reminds me of like a abandoned old like spooky Victorian dollhouse or something. Like what it's starting to sound like. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so bad with song titles, but I was listening to it yesterday when I was walking through town.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to do here anyway. I think people look at you like, why are you walking somewhere? But
you're like, it's not New York.
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember what it might have been. The Calling, actually. There's this one bit where it's like this piano, which just is so out of like that wobble.
Warped.
Out of
key.
It's so
That's, I love Rainy Day Piano. What I call it.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm just looking at my list of things.
Sure.
I don't want to make sure I don't miss anything out that I wanted to speak to you about. Another thing that you've obviously been putting out through all your like social media is your care for animal welfare, mm-hmm. and veganism and stuff, and then that's leading on to now like a line of shoes.
I mean, I think everything I do now, I mean, it just stems from that and any animal rights advocacy. I mean, that's like you know, I wake up every day, I'm just like, what am I gonna do today like to help? And I think the more and more people learn about what's going on, it's like there's a better understanding of why, you know, vegans or animal rights activists kind of have this bad rap for, you know, being overbearing or talking about it all the time. But I think when you start understanding what's going on in the world, then it's like, oh, because I used to be that person. I used to hate vegans and be annoyed by them. It's like, oh, God, like I was talking about food or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you realize it's so much bigger than just food. And so, yeah, I think, you know, the makeup line, the shoe line, these are just like vessels to carry a message. And I think that they just make it easy for people to like live a cruelty-free life, whether or not they are consciously wanting to do so or not, you know? And I think it's part of the whole leading by example thing. So, yeah, and I think shoes, I mean, in particular, it's like as a girl, it's like the hardest thing to deal with when you become vegan, you cut out leather. It's like there's not really a lot of quality options, and so
like you end up just wearing these all the time.
Exactly. So I'm just trying to like, you know, build something. I guess be on the pioneering side of that. So I think a lot of people are becoming more like awake to that kind of like conscious thinking. So yeah.
I see that here, it just in, as in the options that there are for food and eating out.
Oh, in LA, we're spoiled. It's so easy to be vegan here.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, every time I come here, I feel like I probably leave a little heavier than I probably should be.
Yeah.
Just because there's so many great opportunities to, but.
Yeah, and it's getting better everywhere, I think. You know, yeah. I think like being a vegan, I have friends that have been vegan for decades, and I'm like, oh my God, you were vegan when it sucked. You know,
yeah.
Now it's like food's actually good now.
Yeah.
So yeah, times are changing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that I think will make the difference and have people move to like a more plant-based diet is, I don't think it'll be the animal welfare, unfortunately, as en masse.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll just be a necessity in the sense that it's not sustainable.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I think that there's plenty of reasons to consider being a vegan, and you know, whether it's for animals or for the environment or just for self-health, but yeah, you're right. I think as far as it being sustainable, like, it's just not realistic, you know.
I mean, better that than not, right?
Yeah, like, I mean,
if
I don't care
if it means more people.
Yeah, sure.
Cut meat out just because they have to.
Yeah, of course. Like, I don't care what reasons people do it for. I'm just glad they do.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you know, like when I was setting up and I was saying about going to Crossroads and stuff, and you have things like, you know, like the Impossible Burger.
Yeah.
And you know, they're not, it doesn't seem like they're marketing that as a...
No, you don't even find the word vegan on anything at Crossroads, you know?
Yeah.
But I think, too, that's, like, a great thing. I think that, like, a lot of things in the vegan industry are so not sexy, you know? And it's, like, I'm excited about, you know, I guess making things modern. And because I think the modern vegan isn't a hippie and, you know, he or she isn't... you know, hacky sacking or wearing Birkenstocks or whatever. I mean, some of them are, and that's cool if you do, but like, I don't, you know, and I want things to be able to speak to me. And I think that there's ways of doing it where it doesn't have to be in a brown and green package. So
it can be black too.
Yeah, exactly.
It does seem like, in the art community, like, I mean, obviously the punk rock and hardcore scene has always been like socially, well, have like a more socially conscious element.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I got into animal rights, is like listening to Crass and Conflict and a lot of those bands that weren't scared back then to talk about it. And I mean, not just animal rights, but like human rights and, you know, feminism and things like that. I mean, these are bands or just people that were like, weren't scared to call it how it is. And I think to stand up and fight for something that's, you know, just.
Yeah.
So yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it's spreading out across that.
Yeah.
It's funny how that always seems to be like a world that back when I was a kid was very much looked down on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Like you were a part of that world because it moved you and it was like that was your home because you were an outcast.
Yeah.
And now when you look at fashion across the board from high street to couture,
sure.
And like huge houses are finding inspiration in that world, and it's a funny way that's just kind of flipped on its head, and it just seems to be leading everything from,
A part of me is like, that's cool, you know, that people are more open-minded to stuff, and I guess the punk rock inside me just is kind of anti that too. I feel like there's a poser element to it. It's like, I mean, I guess it's just because like for me it was never about fashion, and it was just about, you know, self-expression or whatever you want to call it, is just something that you did because that's what you do, you know, and like what you feel inside. And it wasn't to like gain, you know, any like form of applause from like outside world. But I think it's cool, whatever floats your boat. You know, to me, I'm like, it's not going to change what I do. I'm going to do what I do the way I do it. Just, you know.
At what point did you realize that this was your focus, like, all of these things that we've spoken about? Because I remember, like, watching Miami Ink, and that was the first time I heard your name and saw you, and it...
I mean, I think like, it all just really started with my sobriety. Like, when I decided to become sober 10 years ago, it just, like, was, like, the first step into, you know, conscious living. So it's, like, which makes sense, you know? I mean, the way I was drinking, it wasn't just having fun and being a party animal. It was, like, complete dysfunction and like and self-destruction, you know? And so then I think the minute that I decided to put an end to that was like kind of the beginning of like my real life, you know? And I think...
Was there one moment where you realized that it had become this nihilistic?
I mean, it was like, I have my sober anniversary, which is July 7th, but it wasn't that like, you know, I hit rock bottom or anything. I was a very well-functioning alcoholic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I mean, the more I drank, the more made for great TV, I guess, but like, not that that's why I did it, but so it wasn't like there was anything that was inspiring me to quit, but I think
But
that
do you feel like it was almost... that environment was kind of like, yeah, cool. Whereas a lot of people would be like, you know, maybe you should slow down on this. It's almost that,
like
you say, you weren't doing it for that, but it's almost like that may have been enabling it.
When you're doing drugs and drinking the way that I was, you're not surrounding yourself around positive people who are caring and looking out for you. They're just there to use you as a party favor. So it's not like I had anybody on my side saying, hey, we're really worried about you, you know? So it really was up to me. And, you know, there was like a few things that I guess weighed in on my decision to stop drinking and doing drugs. It's just, you know, one of them was like when I first started tattooing when I was 14, I promised myself I wouldn't ever allow anything to get in the way of my tattooing and my art. And then, you know, so I just remember not showing up as much. And it's like, you know, I think that if it was so easy for me to cut out like relationships or anyone who would get in the way of my art, then why wouldn't I cut this out, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think there was like, you know, at the time I was dating a guy who was really sweet and kind, and I remember waking up and to a note saying like, you know, I can't deal with this shit anymore. And it wasn't, that wasn't what inspired me to do it, but it was just the fact that I couldn't remember what I should apologize about. Like, you know, and that was really hard for me. Like, I wanted to make things right, but how do you do that when you don't even remember what you did? And so I was like, well, like, you know, this is the shittiest feeling ever, and I don't want to keep doing this, you know? And,
yeah.
And you know, and it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to stop drinking and then all my problems are go away. Like, if anything, when you quit drinking, it's like now you're left to really deal with your real problems, like, without anything to buffer it. And so... Yeah, I mean, I think
it
got worse.
Were they problems that were there and that was why you were drinking, or do you think
there
were problems?
Yeah, of course. I mean, drinking is a symptom
up.
Of something. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know.
But it doesn't. It's not like it alleviates problems, does it? It just seems to pile on.
Yeah, I think it just. I mean, yeah, for sure. Drinking does not alleviate problems whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
It definitely makes it. You get in your own way, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's like, you know, you're not, you know, and I think most people, or not most people, but a lot of people are scared to deal with shit, you know. I think it's the idea of dealing, like really taking hard looks at yourself and seeing what sucks about you is not pleasant or fun for people. For me, it's like I have to do it. Like, I don't want to, like, I want to get it right this lifetime, you know. I think if I've lived and died a million times, like, I would like for this round to be the last time. And I want to graduate, you know. I want to get it right this time. So
yeah.
So I mean, it's like then you're left with, you know, a lot of more open space to work on those things. And so I think the sobriety was really like my first step into like conscious living. And then, you know, from there, it's like, then you start looking at other things in life that you're doing that might not be really fulfilling, you know? And I think like the animal rights stuff just, you know, it was only like 3 years into my sobriety when I started really like taking a look at that stuff. And at first I thought it was really just about diet, and then I realize it's not about diet. I mean, that's just an asterisk on the list of things, ways that we exploit animals.
Yeah.
And so then kind of just snowballed from there. But I wouldn't be able to do all the things that I do at the capacity that I do if I was not sober. So I always like think like priority wise, that's like my number one priority is to stay sober, and then everything else falls under that.
Yeah.
Good,
I think.
Awesome, man. Well, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for hanging out with me and
thank
for
you.
Dealing with my cats, too.
Oh, no, they're great. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Cool. Thank you so much to Kat, and thank you for listening as well. Hope you enjoyed it. If you don't already, you can follow Kat on Instagram, which is at
Kat Von D. Her makeup line is at Kat Von D Beauty. The shop is High Voltage Tat, at High Voltage Tat. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Daniel P. Carter. And as I said at the start, if you'd like the chance to win one of the cover paintings for Swim, follow at Swim Podcast on Insta and Twitter, write a review on iTunes, screenshot all those things, prove that you're following, prove that you wrote a review. Send me those at Twitter at Swim Podcast. Use the hashtag Swim Portrait. Before January 4th, I'll put your name in an actual hat, draw it in 3 weeks from today. That's January the 5th. And you can be with a chance of winning one of my paintings. Anyway, good luck with that. Thank you for checking out the podcast. Next episode is with Marilyn Manson. I am out. Peace.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.